The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello and welcome to another episode of This Thing On. I'm only Alex Petrovich. That is Joe Foster.
Hello.
Over there is producer Al.
Hello.
And this month our guest is the fantastic Joe Lycett.
Oh my God, it's me.
Hello. It is only Joe Lycett.
It can't be. Surely not.
The one and only.
No, but he's doing a gig in Brighton this evening, so he's here early.
What? I read it in the Argus. He's in Brighton. He's in Comedia.
Is it in the Argus?
No, it probably isn't, is it?
I think it might be.
It's in the Comedia booklet.
It's in the Comedia booklet. It's on the interweb.
It's in a booklet somewhere. It's great.
They've renovated the green room for you.
Yes, this is very nice. We're on a sort of chaise longue, aren't we?
I know, and there's bean bags in the corner.
Bean bags. Last time I was in here, it's an absolute... hovel.
It was. We had to bring Lucy Porter into that hovel as well.
Now you say it. Yeah, it's actually quite. Have they got new strip lights on the roof?
Yeah.
These are new. We are very pleased with that.
We're moving up in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you always record it here or just kind of in and around Brighton?
In and around Brighton.
Yeah.
We always try and find a sofa though.
Right,
yeah. We make that our priority.
I mean, we say we're in a studio, but it's mainly my house.
Usually my
living room. Yeah,
but it's nice there. We've got tea and things.
Yeah, tea. Yeah, exactly.
We've fucking tea here that won't cost you that. No,
$3.75.
What do they have? Like a selection of fruit teas that are just slightly more expensive because they've got fruit in them.
Jade Mountain Green Tea.
They've got bloody everything down at the Brighton Comedia. Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Oh yeah, yeah. Thanks for having
y'all
us.
Y'all get on down. Brighton Comedia.
Roll up.
Y'all get your bottle of water. And 10 pence goes... Where does 10 pence go? It says on the bottle there. 10 pence goes to all of
country.
Africa.
Good luck.
Got 10p in Africa now.
We bought 3 bottles.
Oh, yes, they got 30p.
How have you been, Joe? Good?
I've been quite well. 3 weeks ago tomorrow, I fractured my radial head. Do you know what that is?
No.
It's an elbow muscle, a elbow bone.
Okay.
I was at a photo shoot.
sorry.
It's a great start to a fracture
where
story.
Where all accidents happen.
Yeah, well, when Joe Lycett's involved, I absolutely do. So I was doing a photo shoot to take some pictures to promote my DVD, which is coming up later in the year. And I kicked my leg in the air. And whilst that leg was in the air, I kicked my other leg in the air, which I don't know if you're a fan of gravity.
I am.
Created a situation where I was not in a position to land safely and landed on my elbow, yes, fracturing my radial head, which means, I'll show you, it's a bit sore, but it's a lot better than it was. But like that's as far as I can get.
Oh, wow.
Do you see? And it sort of looks like it's not... People say it looks like it's not part of my body.
Yeah, it's kind of like... Cause that the forearm's kind of like rigid in place.
It's rigid in place. And then I sort of can't quite get it. Like I can sort of start to do stuff with... But I don't have a cast because it's a moving joint. It has to move so you don't get scar tissue.
Okay.
So I've just been using scarves as slings. So I've really enjoyed like accessorising it.
I think even if they offered you a cast, you'd go, no, I've got a selection of scarves.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
You really need it to be in a cast. No.
It's got cashmere.
There's a lovely Zara number coming. Yeah, so other than that, but actually, so I was saying this to my agent the other day. Actually, weirdly, the breaking the elbow has made me happier on average. Not that I was unhappy, but I just have a sense of peace that I didn't have before I did it. And I read a statistic years ago, which was if you lose a limb, you're statistically likely to be happier than if you've won the lottery. Because I think, I mean, I'm deducing this myself, but that your expectations of life when you win the lottery are, oh, all my problems are solved, I'm going to be really happy, and then they're not.
Yeah.
And when you lose a limb, you go, oh, God, everything's going to be shit for me, and actually it's fine.
Yeah.
Once you've done all the rehab and everything, on average.
You're feeling this post-injury euphoria.
So, yeah, I sort of... And also, my response to pain, I've discovered, is laughter. So I find my own pain hysterical, which, again, is apparently quite common because it releases endorphins that act as painkillers.
That's in your elbow. It's a funny bone, isn't it?
Well, there we go.
Oh, hang on.
Uh-oh. Punch onto every story.
Oh, I'm leaving.
currently your tell us a joke?
So I've been quite jolly, really. Wow. I'm in high spirits. I can now lift a glass of water to my... Or a glass of...
Do you set yourself like little goals every day?
Well, like shoelaces I couldn't do until yesterday, so that's good.
Oh, my God. This is like a real thing. Yeah. I got you a bottle of water at the time,
well,
because just to be a nice guy, but now I really feel like I've done something for you and Africa. So that's...
Yes, you have. You absolutely have, and you should be applauded for it.
Thank you.
I can't applaud currently.
Slap your thigh.
But
you've been in the wars, haven't you, Joe?
I have been in the wars, but it's quite bad because it's quite open ended right now. You will never guess what's happened. On Sunday, and this is not creating a somber tone. On Sunday, I started having chest pains, and then thought for the next 3 days. This isn't good. Mm. So I called up 111 and went to the hospital and sat in A&E for 5 hours. And they told me I was fine. I just needed to take, ibuprofen.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, so ibuprofen can give you really bad heartburn, actually.
Yeah. Well, this is it. So I'm still wondering what it is. But now, so they've sent me away. I got a doctor's appointment tomorrow morning, so it's fine.
Have you had an ECG?
Is that the thing where they stick the thing
little
to the stickers?
And
yeah, yeah.
And they
said
that was fine.
I've had a chest x-ray. Ooh. I've had that thing.
Are you stressed at the minute?
Bloods, I am really stressed. Do you know what?
Guys, what can we do? What can we do to help you out here?
And also, that's the annoying thing, is that stress can give you heart murmurs and affect you, give you heart pangs.
Yeah.
But then when you're having heart pangs, you're going, oh, I'm going to die, which makes you even more stressed. So it creates this cyclical thing. Because I used to be a hypochondriac. I'm a lot better now. A hypochondriac wouldn't say I'm a lot better now, so it must be improved. But I used to live above a GP surgery, and I had a day where I was a bit stressed, and I went downstairs, and I was 21, and the doctor sort of looked at me as if to sort of go, you idiot, you're not having a heart attack.
My doctor actually said to me at the end of last year, by the end of this year, you'll have seen every specialist in Sussex, because he thinks I'm that much of a hypochondriac.
Oh, really?
Wow.
What are your pretend symptoms?
Well, I've had ECG.
I'm pissing blood, and nobody takes me seriously.
My bone's poking out my shin.
Yeah.
I've had a couple of ECGs as well, and when they did it for me, because I've got quite a lot of chest hair, they had to shave holes in my chest.
Oh, nice.
And then the second time, over my chest hair, and then instead of them take it off, all the nurses gather around to watch me take off my own ECG because they wanted to see me just rip it off in pain.
So did you ask, whenever I have ECGs, I've had to, the only reason I've had ECGs, to my knowledge, I think, is when I've done the TV show Drunk History, mm-hmm. and you have to go for a full medical to check that you're legally allowed to get drunk, which... If I wasn't, I was very against the law, particularly when I did it. And that you can ask for to see the data, so you can see, and then you can make your own conclusions as to. I mean, it shouldn't be beating that much of whatever you want to do. Yeah. So you're
legally
should
allowed to drink.
Yeah,
I really want to ask a question that is probably a standard question about drunk histories.
Yeah.
When you're getting drunk beforehand, do they take you to the pub, or are you in a room,
they take you to the pub.
They take you to the pub, and they... But how long
see
you
alone?
I just want to
go in that room. Yeah.
Here's the gin.
I just want to know, roughly how many drinks do you have?
So the last time I did it, which was a few weeks ago, it was quite surreal, actually, what happened. I went in at 12 o'clock to the pub.
Nice.
12 o'clock midday.
Wow.
And ordered... so you can take a friend with you. So I took I took my friend Caitlin, and I ordered Bloody Marias, which are Bloody Marys made with tequila.
Oh wow!
So we had a couple of those to kick off with, and then I drank the best part of a bottle of Gavi de Gavi white wine, and then I had some more shots when I got then to the studio. And then quite a lot of Prosecco, and we started shooting about 3 o'clock. So, yeah, two large sort of tequilas, I'd say probably a bottle and a half of wine, and maybe a couple of Sambucas.
Nice.
In 3 hours.
Fuck,
that's an impressive session.
I think that's what I did. Yeah, and then you kind of gently drink as you do it. I was fucked. But about an hour, and maybe an hour and a half in, I got a text from an agent who I hadn't heard from for years, just saying, is this still your number? And I just text back saying, yes, it is. Hope you're well. And he replied, expect a call from Ricky Gervais.
Oh, my God.
Ricky Gervais' agent. So I just replied, lol. to which he replied, no, seriously. Right. So I then replied, lol. And then the phone started ringing, and I'm pissed. And
fuck.
It was Ricky Gervais. And I'd never met him and never had any kind of contact with him. But he wanted to ask me to support him at the Apollo when he was playing as David Brent. But wow. I managed to sort of coast along in this 10-minute phone conversation off my nut.
Yeah.
Trying to be like, yeah, watch the film, it was great. Like, just really not well.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't clock on. And I haven't told him to this day that was where I was. But I still got the gig, so that's okay. But yeah, the last time I did it was quite a showbiz day, really, with all of that.
I mean, to be honest with you, that will probably sober you up pretty fucking quickly, I imagine.
Yeah, it was a surreal moment. And because I was so trash, like when I kind of sobered up the next morning, I was like, did that actually happen? Did I have a conversation with Ricky Gervais? Yeah.
You've got to look back at those texts just going, lol, lol.
Yeah, yeah.
It did happen.
Yeah. Oh my God, I really love a lol, don't I? Yeah, so I got very drunk to answer your original question.
Right, yeah. Oh, thank you.
You ever watch that show back and think, I don't remember saying any of this stuff?
Yeah it's kind of scary because you put your life into their hands, really, but they make such a good program out of it and I love kind of to watch what they've done with it.
Yeah.
And some of the actors that they use, just astonishing, the kind of one, the caliber, but then also just how good they are at kind of picking up the intonations of the way that the drunk comics speak. It's a really good show.
It's a good idea for a show.
It's a great idea, but how do you pitch that? That was sort of wondering. Yeah. How do you go into the meeting with that?
Well, it's like me and my girlfriend during the Fringe went to go and see Shitface Shakespeare, and it's great. But for those of you who haven't seen it, it's just one of the Shakespearean actors is hammered to the point where they're literally falling down.
But the rest of them are sober.
So there's like, so the woman who was drunk in the one that we watched was like trying to get off with the guys and then like slagging one of the guys off because he'd been in bad education. She was like, great. Going, this is Tom, he's been in bad education. And he's like trying to do this like Shakespearean monologue with a straight face. It's really, really funny. But apparently they told me about it once because I was talking to the people that work at the Warren during the Brighton Fringe, and they said that they tried to do Shitface Shakespeare before at the uni with everyone fucked, apparently that was just chaos.
You need
like a leveler.
Yeah, you totally do.
Yeah. And the other thing they do, and you know, she really, I thought she was going to throw up like about 10 minutes in, but they give the audience, because obviously it's the thing, the audience is just gonna fuck with her, that's what happened. They give the audience a horn and a tambourine, and if you think she's not drunk enough, you get to like, it's so American, isn't it? You get to like honk the horn and do the tambourine, and then like it was really good. I'll go and watch it again.
The Shakespeare equivalent of a gong show.
Yeah, it does sound like that.
And what's great is that you can literally, I would go and watch it over and over again because it's always going to be different.
And it's always funny watching people drunk, isn't it?
Yeah, it is hilarious.
I suppose it's because you know what you're like when you're drunk. I know what I'm like when I'm drunk. Absolutely sensational. So it's, yeah, it's reassuring to not be the drunk one sometimes, isn't it? But not most of the time. Much nicer to be the drunk one.
You ever had any time off drinking? Tried to take like a month off?
No, don't be silly.
Yeah. I've tried and I never last very long.
No, I do try. Because, yeah, it's one of the tricky things with this industry, isn't it? Where like, you end up just having an ice cold beer after the show, before the show, during the show. And, your boundaries are not as clear as when you can drink and not. So, yes, I do try to make a concerted effort. Is that the word?
Yeah.
I feel like I've forgotten language. I'm obviously pissed.
Put that gin down, Joe.
I'm trying to get it in my eyeball. I do try sometimes.
A lot of the gigs I've been doing lately, because it's sort of like open mic-y kind of stuff, a lot of the payment is alcohol and just alcohol. Yeah. So I turn up to the gig and go, I'm not going to drink tonight. And then you've got three alcohol tokens in your hand. You're like, it's go time.
Yeah.
Especially if I'll leave the car. The gig and it's shit. And then you're like, yeah, give me a drink. Or I do the classic and just immediately walk out of the building and don't even say goodbye.
Well, I have discovered with the elbow that alcohol is a phenomenal pain.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I've had, kind of a good reason. I've had a great reason to drink the finest champagnes.
The medicinal properties of Prosecco.
Yeah. It's all on the NHS.
So you've been on tour?
Been on tour, finished the tour. So when did I finish that? Well, I finished it in Edinburgh, sort of started it in Edinburgh and then finished with a few extra shows in Edinburgh this year. And then, so I had a really good time on the tour, really good time. Just
what was it, and what was the name of the show? This was...
That's the Way a hat Joe Lycett.
I love your show names.
They're fun, aren't they?
Some
Lycett Hot was my first one.
If Joe Lycett, then you should have put a ring on it.
That's it. That was the second show.
Have you got more in your head?
I have, but like I sort of...
You don't want to drop the bomb too early.
Well, no, I've said them loads on different things.
Yeah.
I thought of one yesterday.
Please, enlighten me.
Joe Lycett, move it, move it.
Oh, lovely. Because that would be such good walk-on music. Joe Lycett, move it, move it. Joe Lycett, move it! there's lots. Drop It, Lice It Hot. You Really Lice It? Is it Wicked? I Kissed a Girl and Joe Lycett. lots.
I love that one.
Yeah, it's a good one, isn't it? I Kissed a Girl and Joe Lycett, yeah.
It's the best name to try and fit into songs.
I don't know if it is. I just think like I've spent too much time trying to fit it into songs. Yeah. And so other people could probably find...
Alex Petrovich goes into nothing.
Yeah. It's a challenge there. Tweet him.
Bar set.
Bar absolutely set.
It's only time for a bloody feature.
Can I do a jingle? Do you have a jingle?
We do have a jingle, but we'd love to hear your... Normally we just go, because normally this is where the jingle would go. We normally just go jingle, jingle to insert it, but we'd want to hear your jingle. It's called Into Obscurity. Over to you, Joe Lycett.
Ba ba da ba ba da bip bip bip. Into Obscurity.
Fantastic. That is getting cut and kept.
That is better.
That is awesome. Right. Is it me? Right. Joe, your film was lost in translation.
Yeah.
Because you liked it in your younger years.
I like it in my twilight years.
With your injured elbow.
I am broken now. Brittle bones. It's just one of those. You know when you sort of, there's like a peak age, or not peak age, like a kind of key age when you're somewhere in your teens where you're so malleable to culture and so, you soak it up so easily. And it kind of is more profound to you than I think at any other point in your life. And I watched Lost in Translation in that time, and like all of the kind of loneliness themes of it, and the kind of the kind of late night drinking and all of that. It's just really resonated with me. Obviously,
for people that
16,
haven't like seen it. Could you give us a quick summary of what the film's about?
Bill Murray plays an actor who has gone to Tokyo to film an advert, leaving his family behind. and Scarlett Johansson plays the partner to a photographer who's in Tokyo taking pictures of a film, I think. It's directed by Sofia Coppola, that's it, thank you. And Scarlett is sort of kind of abandoned a bit by her partner while he goes off to take photos and sort of hang out with showbiz types. And Bill Murray's just a bit lonely on his own. And they strike up a friendship, but who knows what else it could be. There's lots of kind of questions over what's going on between them, what they think is going on between them. But it's just a character-driven, lovely, gentle film.
What a lovely synopsis.
Well, that was really nice. Yeah. I'm starting to
fuck
think
you, IMDb.
No guest description of the film has made me think my questions are inadequate. But
right.
No one else gave a director. Okay, right. Lost in Translation. Question one for Joe Lycett.
Bearing in mind, I'm shit at names.
Yep.
So I can't actually. Couldn't tell you. I couldn't remember the name Sofia Coppola, even though I've seen pretty much all of her films.
Don't worry, there's no names in... No names.
Marie Antoinette, not a good film.
Okay, when Bob Harris...
Which That's is, his name, Bob Harris!
There you go. Bill Murray's character arrives at the hotel. Mm. He goes to the bar and he's quite tired. And then some people recognise him, so he sort of skulks back to his room. And then when he goes to bed, he gets a fax. Can you tell me what item of furniture does he get faxed?
Oh, I want to say, well, at one point he's looking through bits of carpet to decide what bit of carpet they should have, but I don't think that's at that point. I think it's when, I think it's a wardrobe, something like that.
It's a set of shelves.
I could just sort of visualise kind of a bit of that, yeah, but just a set of shelves. It's different to a wardrobe, and so I accept that I completely fucked this up.
Unfortunately, the problem with this game is it does tend to frustrate people.
It's a great question.
Basically, what I'm looking for is something that you'll see and never notice.
Yeah, but,
So question two, where does Bob first see Shirley? So they, at some point...
Is her name Shirley?
I think her name's Shirley. Now you're starting to make me doubt my question.
No, have you got the right film, Joe?
I'm not sure that she... I think this might be a trick question because Shirley, I think, might not be Scarlett Johansson's character.
Okay, let's change it to...
Is it definitely... Is she definitely called Shirley? I'm just wondering whether it's...
This is what my... I said... I was sitting watching the film with my girlfriend yesterday and I said, what's Scarlett Johansson's name? And she said Shirley and I wrote that down.
All right.
So the answer to that question is... I don't know.
Well, can I IMDb?
Scarlett Johansson's character.
Okay, so they
Charlotte, by the way.
Charlotte.
Fucking.
I thought it was Charlotte.
Of course, it's not Shirley.
Shirley, such a weird name.
When was this? The 1920s.
Yeah. Can you imagine them in the writing meeting going, "Sure, Sophia, Shirley." Yeah.
Nope, Shirley.
No, I want to call it Shirley. Okay, yes. When does he first meet Charlotte?
But it's not... This is See important. Her. So it's they do... at some point, they do a mutual nod. So where Bob first sees Joan in the... Oh! Nearly gave it away then. You were going to have to cut me fucking around out. Right. Before they first meet and have a conversation, they see each other somewhere and they do a mutual nod.
Okie cokie. I want to say it's in the hotel bar while she's sat with her partner and some people around the table and he's sat at the bar.
That is close. They meet before that in the lift.
Oh, no. Yeah, they're in the bloody lift.
They are in the lift. I don't want to...
I don't know this film at all.
These questions are difficult.
They're great questions, though, 'cause it makes me want to watch the film again.
I have question three. Question three. Okay. What is the first thing the prostitute that comes to Bob's room asks him to do?
When there's the classic where she goes, lip my stocking. But I don't think that's the first thing that she does. I think... No, do you know what? Lip my stocking is the first thing she says.
That's correct. That is correct.
Smashed it.
Meaning rip her stocking.
Yeah. Lip them? That's how I remember it.
One from three.
That's good to know.
One from three.
But that's like that's in the trailer, so like.
Is it? I didn't even know it was in the trailer. Question four. What colour is the woman's hair who sings in the hotel bar? It's the same lounge singer.
He sleeps with her later. Red. Yeah.
Bang on.
Yeah, great.
Red hair. And
it's like long and wavy.
Curiously, question five. What colour is the carpet? What colour carpet does Bob choose? He basically picks the one that's recommended by his wife. She chooses the colour.
Oh,
what is
no.
the colour?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's like a green, but that's a real stab in the dark.
It's a burgundy.
Oh, the burgundy. I like the burgundy. That's what she put.
I did not set out to frustrate, but this generally does.
It's spoilt my day, actually. Really, I feel very sad.
You've ruined his post-elbow in euphoria.
I have to break the other elbow.
So, Joe Likes It finishes on 2 out of 5.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
It finishes on 2 out of 5 and a lovely soundbite. But yes, thank you, Joe.
Well, I'm glad that I went through that because I'm now very fully aware of my limitations.
Well, it is competition time because Alex, are you asking Joe questions now?
No, it's Joe asking me.
Joe asking you. Okay, so can you beat 2 out of 5?
My film this month is the classic Phone Booth. Have you ever seen that?
Is that the one
Colin
with
Farrell?
Colin Farrell and Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah, and Forest Whitaker.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good cast.
Yeah, it's a good, set good film.
It is a very good film, set entirely in a phone booth for those of.
Not, though, is it? Like, it's set like in and around a phone booth.
Yeah. It's.
Kiefer Sutherland's great in that.
Fantastic. Yeah, really good.
Really like sinister.
For those of you that haven't seen it, it's a guy that essentially makes a phone. He's been a bit of a bad man, and someone takes offense to that and holds him hostage essentially with a sniper, and chaos ensues.
Yes,
it's actually a really good film.
Yeah, it's a great film.
I really enjoy watching the films for this podcast, but I've had quite a good couple of films, guys. Well done. Good.
I want to watch that film again now.
Well, that's
because it's all that stuff about Kiefer does like a kind of.
If I can't answer one of these questions, feel free. We can throw it over to you.
Okay.
See if you know them.
Okay. Yeah.
You could steal points from me.
All right. I won't talk about the monologue then because that might come up. All right.
Oh. Okay. All right. No problem. Question one on Phone Booth. Okay. Colin Farrell's character walks into a booth.
What? Phone booth.
No, it's not. Yeah,
take that, Joe Lyson.
You would be understandably fucking livid if that was the question. No. Question one. When Stu first steps into the booth, just before the pizza delivery guy knocks on the booth, what does he do?
Takes off his wedding ring.
Fucking hell, how do you get that? Question one is correct.
Oh my word.
I know. That was really good. Well done, Alex.
To be fair, he is making a call to his mistress. So I think that's.
Don't just take the compliment.
Oh, sorry.
Don't cheapen this. You did
a good
job.
Sorry.
One out of one.
Thank you, Joe.
What was it you said? I listened to the last podcast this morning and they said. There was a question we did neglected questions that we wrote for something else in the last podcast, and one of them was which was a weird question for any of us to come up with. Why did you start stand up? Did you start stand up to get off with people? And your answer was no, I just wanted people to like me. That's the kind of guy he is. Aww, 1 out of 1.
What a little prick.
You want to say the other word, don't you? I told you can say any swear word you want.
Question two on Phone Booth. This is a great start to a question. When the unhappy prostitute is banging on the phone booth to get Stu to get out, what does she say? I mean, this is great.
I'm going to suck you up or something, isn't it?
No, it's gone.
Okay, well, she's banging on the phone booth and then she goes...
Something motherfucker.
Suck on my titties.
It's, damn it, man, you made me hurt my dick hand. I mean, yeah. Which is quite distinctive. I thought, to be honest, I thought that would be quite...
It's a great line. You made me hurt my dick hand.
I do remember that bit now.
Okay,
question. I want to go back in time and audition for that role.
Question three. What is the name of the pimp who gets shot?
Leon.
Leon is correct.
Wow. When did you watch this film?
Like yesterday.
See, that's the thing, because it is dependent on when you watch the film, but we really can't ask people to watch it. Have you watched the film? No one would do it.
What kind of homework have you done?
But question four. What code does Captain Raimi use to tell Stu they are looking for the sniper?
We are looking for the sniper. We think we're nearby.
Just miming a sniper rifle.
We are cooking for the piper.
Is it something about... Is it getting him a lawyer?
Go on.
Getting him...
I need the exact phrasing.
Oh. We're trying to get your lawyer
We're
down
We're not going
to
take wardrobes here, Alex.
No, that's all I've got. We're trying to get your lawyer down here. We're bringing your lawyer down.
I mean...
What is it?
Your wife has called your lawyer and we're bringing him down. Are we? Okay.
Oh, God, that is close, isn't it?
No mention of a wife, though. And because I don't like you, no point.
No points.
Wardrobe and a chest of drawers are very similar.
They really are.
That kind of was the same sort of situation. Give Joe an extra point. Let's go back.
All right. Let's give them both a
hand. Hang on, have I lost a point and Joe's gained a point?
Yeah, actually, that's a good idea, Alex. Give Alex's point to Joe.
I'm into that. Thank you, mate. That's very nice of you.
Question thump. No, question five. Oh, fuck. This is...
Hang on before we start the question.
Yep, go ahead.
So, Joe got 2 out of 5.
Plus my
Alex
point.
Alex has 2 out of 5 currently.
It's a decider.
So, it's all dependent on this question. It's come down to...
I'm nervous for you.
Do you want to do your heart sound?
Oh, this is your heart.
Beep. You enjoy that, Jay?
I enjoyed it.
I am fucking nervous. Yeah.
But yeah. That stress has really gone through there.
Okay, in the entire film...
Wow.
Oh, it's a big one.
In the entire film.
How many times does the killer cock the rifle?
Cock.
5.
7.
Oh, that's close to 5.
There we go. A tie.
That was almost
the
same.
Oh, it's not a tie.
It's a tie. It's 2-all.
Wow.
Should we answer a question on a random film of your choice?
Yeah, pick any. We can edit out the bit where you think of a question, but think any film. What films?
Matrix.
Matrix 1. I mean,
I've never seen The Matrix. This is the bit where I've never seen any films ever.
What film have you seen?
The Labyrinth?
No. Oh. Toy Story.
I've seen Toy Story.
Toy Story.
All right.
Fuck, when was that? Toy Story, right.
Yeah, I can't IMDb a fun question somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. Tiebreak question.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
This one's on Toy Story, everybody.
Oh, God.
Who played the voice of the pig, Ham?
Oh, I know who that is.
Have fun, guys. Can we have a clue?
You know, you can... do you know what? Just to win, tell me which classic sitcom he starred in.
Oh. Cheers.
Joe Lysett wins. Well done. Who was Ratzenberger?
There it is. I wouldn't have known that name, but a new cheers.
Excellent. There
we go. I win.
Great.
Congratulations, Joe.
Thank you. I feel like I've taken it really humbly.
No. You haven't seen my winning dance.
Oh, right.
Cool.
You mentioned that quiz that we did at the end of the last show. There's one question in that, because we did like a little Edinburgh short thing where we asked some questions. Mm-hmm. There's one question that I kind of want to know the answer from you. What would be your karaoke song?
Lose Yourself by Eminem. I do it quite often because I don't know the first rhymes, the first bits. Rhymes, rhythms,
hip hop
rhymes.
Yeah,
but I do know almost off by heart the final verse. So what I do is I create the illusion that I don't know what I'm doing
because
I don't know the start of the song. And then at the end, I go off and I go, no more games, I'm going to change what you call rage. Like,
to put your hood up and everything.
Yeah. And I did it in Melbourne. Was it in Melbourne? Yeah, in Melbourne when I went there a few years ago. I went there with like Tim Vine and Sarah Pascoe and a few other good eggs, Nish Kumar. And this guy got up and sang this song. He's like really odd guy who'd just been sat in the corner of the bar for ages. Got up, sang this song, and then smashed it. Everyone went mad for it. And to get to the karaoke bar, there was a lift, and he basically smashed it. And as the kind of song was like finishing, he put the mic down, walked to the lift, like,
oh my god!
Everyone was just losing their mind. And then he was like, oh! And then the lift closed, and that was it. And he just went home. And so at the end of when I did Lose Yourself, and then I got in the lift and went as well. So yeah, it felt really badass. It was a good night of my life, actually.
I want to go to this place.
It was really good. Yeah.
How was Melbourne?
Yeah! I love the city. I struggled largely at the gigs, but that's because I wasn't prepared for them properly. But I would like to go back again with more preparation because I think you can have some really good fun there. But I just wasn't that funny.
You don't have to go into it if you don't want to. But
I was expecting to, they would want more crowd stuff. So I was going into the first half of the run, I was going in doing chat with the audience, and they didn't want it. They wanted a show. And my show was kind of probably not Australia ready. It was quite kind of local, so there's stuff about kind of brands and things that they just don't have. So I wasn't prepared for that, really.
Have you done a lot of overseas festivals?
Not really, no. I've done bits and bobs in the Middle East and then a few European gigs. But not really. It's something I'd like to do more of.
What was the last holiday you had that was non-comedy related?
Last week in Mallorca.
Ooh. Oh, nice.
Went to Mallorca.
How was that? Good?
Very good. My favourite thing that came out of it was I was most pleased with my email autoresponder, which the subject line of it was do not stand at my grave and weep. I am not there. I am in Mallorca. I was really pleased.
Last week when I emailed you.
I was really pleased with that. I just went with some friends for a 30th birthday.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's good.
I just got back from Berlin.
Berlin. I was there just before that, actually, for a weekend.
It was one of those places where, you know, where someone's so hyped up to you before you go there, so you're a bit wary of whether it's going to live up to it all,
but it's
a good place. The city of the hipster.
I went for the Lollapalooza Festival.
We were there literally the weekend after that because we were like, weekend before.
Yeah. It's fun, actually, the Lollapalooza Festival. That's why these shoes are kind of dusty because I wore them at Lollapalooza. These were white. But also on that weekend was the Folsom Fetish Party.
Oh, wow.
Which was a street festival for fetish people, basically. And it was absolutely fascinating because it was like open to anybody. You could walk in, it wasn't ticketed. And there were just people like dressed as dogs, like trying to sort of touch each other up. There was no proper nudity, but like there was a lot of kind of, there was a slightly concerning thing when we walked through quite late in the evening where one guy
had sort of chained himself to a lamppost and had this sort of... He was completely covered in latex over his head and everything. And he had this funnel that was attached to the sort of the headpiece of his... basically attached to his mouth. And written on the rim of the funnel was just the word piss. And that was what he was into, basically. Strangers coming around pissing. But the thing is, whereas like everywhere else people were mingling, there was a real like perimeter around him. Yeah, like, don't go near the piss guy. Like. But yes, there's just all sorts of stuff like that. But it was just in the street. There was a guy tied up and having like a kind of sensual body thing. And it was a fascinating display of fetish sort of BDSM culture.
Yeah, I remember hearing about it. It was a famous piss guy. I think he's dead now. But he would go around all over the world. He'd just be in clubs and people so people could piss on him. And he'd be in Australia, and he'd be in Berlin, and he'd be in London. And he was just known as the piss guy.
He loved being pissed on.
Yeah.
Do you know, do you reckon he ever just had an off day where, because after you're the piss guy, just everyone's going to want to piss on you all the time, you know? And do you reckon he was all right, like,
please, I'm not at work.
Go on.
Or did he sort of get that thing where he's like, oh, I really want to, like, take my career to the next level.
Brilliant.
But I feel like I've got as far as piss can take.
Stop trying to pen me in. Yeah.
When you were in Berlin, did you see any of those? Because like, there's like news agents with just seats outside. They kind of treat the news agents there as like bars.
I wondered why this is like. So I came back and I just wanted to have a beer
and walk in the street
with my friend.
Yeah.
And at like 10 p.m. Mm. Everywhere was like, no, in central London, like, no. Yeah. And I realised that we just can't be trusted.
No.
Whereas in Berlin, like, people are like on the tube having a little beer. Like, you know, everyone's just having a little, you know,
we went to
cheeky
this
one.
Little cheeky bevy.
Ice cold beer, as I referred to it, ice cold beer.
Nice.
So, yeah.
But it's so much more common, like, because we went to this news agent, so literally it was... so busy you couldn't get a seat outside this kind of news agent. Also a little bit weird in this news agent.
Such a weird sentence.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's really pumping in the news.
It was busier than the bar across the road. Yeah. Just because obviously the beers are so cheap in there. And this place also what I found was quite weird. And it was a news agent that also sold guitars.
Yeah, they had weird mixes of products.
Like, where can I get a Dr. Pepper, a Snickers, and fuck it, a Les Paul.
They are fascinating. The kind of the shops and whatever in Berlin for that, and they've got such an eye on like aesthetics and
well that's everything's
design
exactly. We got asked to leave a bar for that very reason. So basically we went in this like hipster bar where like the thing was it's really dark, so like all the lights are really
sounds so shit.
It was all really really dim. And I was there with another comedian, James McDonald, and we basically wanted a group photo, and we took a photo, and the flash went off, because obviously it was so dark, and they said, we're going to have to ask you to leave, because you're killing the vibe.
Oh, God.
So that was a bit...
Well, to be honest with you, though, Alex...
We did kill the vibe.
you were their kryptonite, unfortunately. Yeah. So...
The last time I got kicked out of somewhere was a casino for spinning on a chair.
On the roulette wheel. Yeah.
I just had a weird flashback when you were talking about that. I went to, when I was a child, I went to a bar in Germany. I was taken to a bar, but the theme was...
How old were you?
The theme is going to sound really bad when I tell you what it was. It was a bar that was staffed entirely by blind people, but they switched the lights off because obviously, so the bartenders were blind and they would serve you.
I like that.
I mean, it was nice, but it just reminded me of your story.
Why?
Because the bar was...
Because it was in Germany. Oh, I don't know. Have you ever been chucked out of anywhere?
You came and killed the vibe by saying, oh, doesn't that look nice? Yeah. Pose.
No one could see anything. That you're supposed to experience what they
know. Oh, okay.
But why the fuck is your... Why, what's the point in your one being dark? What's the deal?
It was just sort of
they
like,
want a vibe.
It was sort of like dim lighting, kind of hit the mood lighting, kind of.
I did find actually, when I was in Berlin, I went to Berlin's Soho House. Mm-hmm. And because they have a pool on the roof.
Nice.
And like everyone who was like in the pool was like, you know, hot baths and whatever. And I was like, I want to get in the pool. So I've got, you know, not an unattractive body, but it's definitely not muscular. Is a word I would not be using for it. And there was and I'm very pallid as well, very pale, very British, very lad on tour. And yeah, there was a real sense of like, oh, who invited their chub mate? Like, you know, kind of, yeah, there is, I think Berlin sort of probably had its sweet spot, and then it'll now become quite gentrified, and the price of everything will go up, and it'll end up like London.
I was just thinking, if we were in Berlin at the same time, we were having just completely different experiences. Joe, I'm in Berlin, where shall I meet you? I'm just in the pool on this rooftop. Where are you, Alex? Just in a newsagent.
No, the problem is you would have rung me and I was like, well, I'm just pissing into a funnel, Karen. Yeah. I'll be in touch in a moment. Yeah.
Have you ever been chucked out of anywhere?
I was trying to think whether I have ever been chucked out of anywhere. I don't think so, but they probably have, and I've just forgotten. Yeah. I feel like I've not been allowed into many places. I remember not being allowed in, having played there a few open spots, not being allowed into the London Comedy Store to go for a wee. And I was like, I've played here like 3 times, I did a charity gig. And I'm like, nah, not interested. Like, I was like, I really need a beer. So I'm like, no, you can't come in. Luckily, there was a man with a flannel on his face. but yeah, no, I don't think I've ever been chucked out of anywhere.
Joe, have you ever been chucked out?
Yes, I have, but I'm not going to go into it. But what my friend got chucked out of a bar in the best way. Like he's an electrician, and he went behind the bar and turned off the power to the whole building.
Great,
and
that'll do it.
That'll get you chucked out.
Do you know what? I have just remembered that I very nearly got chucked out of a absolute dive called the Actress and Bishop. In Birmingham, which is like kind of open late every night, and it's sort of studenty, and it's just it's a bit of a mess of a place, but it's got a bit of a kind of legendary status because of its late opening hours. I don't know if you're familiar with on beer pumps the kind of frosted effect that they have on some of them. Well, it's just a thing. I love putting my hand on them and cooling my hand down because I get quite clammy, hot palms. Love putting my hand on them and then putting my hand on my face and like cooling my face down and going back. Anyway, I was doing that and this bartender, vile bartender, walked past and went, no, not like politely, like, oh, could you not do that or whatever. He went, get your hands off my pump. And it was like, so aggressive and like so unnecessary. And so he walked off, and I'd had a few, so I was feeling a bit mischievous. So I just sort of put my hand back again, and he like turned. He was like, "What are you doing? I've told you already." So what I'd created is a situation in the bar where, as many people as I could get, I would ask them to just go over, and when he wasn't looking, just put their hand on the pump. I managed to get pictures with loads of people doing it. One of the other bartenders, he didn't know what was going on. picture of her doing it, and in the end, we managed to melted down to the metal, and then I just went, and there was like 4 of us all with our hand on the pump, and he turned round, and there's a beautiful photo that someone caught of him just going like, "Get on!" It's really living.
Have you got that photo still?
I've got that photo on my phone.
I really want to see that.
It's a good photo. He's so angry. It's wonderful.
It's time for another feature. Obviously, we've got a jingle already, but I'd quite like to hear a Joe Lycett jingle for this one. This is called Producer Al's Crap Feature.
Producer Al's Crap Feature.
That is as perfect as it could be.
Yeah, like, it's close to the original.
It literally sets the tone perfectly for what you're about to experience.
Right, okay, so... Producer Al's Crap Feature this month. Hello, everybody. We are doing... it's a seasonal quiz. It's October.
Who's participating?
I think it's going to be another competition between Joe and Alex. Okay. Just, I think, you know, you need to...
Redeem myself.
Redeem yourself. You know, you've got to have a chance to redeem yourself here.
There's a rivalry that's brewing.
Yeah. It's going to be... I feel a bit punchy.
I know.
So I can see in your eyes. To ward off any violence, let's just have a nice, gentle quiz. Okay. Right? That's the idea.
Not going to happen, mate.
No.
Maybe over some of the
Joe's
answers.
Pissed.
Yeah, I've been drinking since midday.
So, a nice seasonal quiz. This quiz is about Halloween.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. And in my ears, I had a little bit of slap back there. I've got the headphones on, and that sounded really scary.
Yeah.
Generally,
yeah,
like, yeah, like a theremin. Okay, so we have. I've got 10 questions. Woo. On Halloween.
It's a bit much.
Let's face it, I really should have got 11, because if it's 5 all, I've got nowhere to go.
Yeah, you got nothing.
Terrible.
And we normally draw.
We normally draw. Okay, so I think what we'll have is kind of quick fire. I'll put it out to both of you. Just yell out your name when you want to answer. Whoever yells out first gets to answer.
Okay. Do you know that?
Right. I did that completely the other way around, didn't I? I went into the microphone and then started speaking when the microphone was completely the wrong way around.
Easy done, easy done.
Brilliant. Okay. Question one. Which ancient culture were the first to celebrate Halloween?
Joe. The Incas.
Not the Incas.
Well, I just made it up.
Alex, can you steal a half... People can steal a half point if they're wrong.
United States of America.
That ancient culture of the United States of America. No, it was the Celts. It was a Celtic tradition, yeah. Originally from the ancient celebration, Samhain. There you go. If people aren't going to laugh, they're going to learn.
I'm gonna make sure. There you go.
Yeah. It was the most important of the 4 quarterly Gaelic calendar days.
Wow.
Anyway, there you go. So, yes, no points each. Second question. Which century was the first century where Halloween cards were made?
Joe. Yeah. 19th.
Not the 19th century.
Oh, my God.
18th?
It was not the 18th. 20th century.
You've got another modern problem.
Those 18th century cards. Yeah. Yeah.
The other problem you haven't seen is none of them getting any of the fucking questions.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I don't think you've got to worry about a tie.
Yeah.
I also resent the fact that I'm never included in these things.
Well,
this is the
did you feel like you would have got that?
No. But
I thought a Joe and Alex would be a bit confusing.
Yeah. No, fair enough, mate.
Joe just wants to play.
Actually, do you want to... you can... Because we're both called Joe, technically.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So Joe's versus them, Alex. You know. Okay,
I'm
cool.
So... Right. There's a single tear rolling down my face.
Okay. It's gonna. Okay, good. This is a bit more like Blockbusters now. 2 versus 1.
Like okay.
Third question. What was Dr.
Joe?
Yes.
You know this one, don't you?
Salmon.
Oh my God, if it is, I'll die.
No. I'll start it so I'll finish, though. I'll give you another chance. What was Dr. Frankenstein's first name?
Joe.
Stephen. Stevie Frankenstein. No. Alex, for half a point?
Doctor.
Well, obviously not.
Don't take the piss, mate.
It was Victor. Victor Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah.
Victor.
Victor.
Fourth question.
Okay.
To the nearest 100,
yeah,
how many pounds did the largest ever pumpkin weigh?
How many pounds are there in a like average human? They like a wrestler would be like, weighing in at 250 pounds.
That's so that heavy. I think there's like 14 pounds to a stone.
To the nearest 100.
The nearest 100.
Oh,
that must give you a clue as to, you know, it's not like 100 or anything.
Oh, okay. That I was literally going to guess 99.
300.
No. Alex, you can steal.
How heavy was this fucking
250?
Nowhere near, guys. It was, the actual full weight was 1,385 pounds.
Are you fucking joking, man?
Nooey.
That is a big pumpkin.
That is a big pumpkin. Still, nothing after 4 questions.
That is insane.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's a crap feature.
We did warn you.
Yeah.
Next question. Who sings the song Monster Mash?
Oh, I love it.
It's a classic. It was a
monster
mash.
I know the
song. It was a graveyard smash. Yeah.
Is it like called? Is it the something club?
No.
Fuck's sake.
This is such a classic song.
I know the song.
I know.
Five
seconds.
This is bullshit.
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson. It's not very close. Bobby Pickett.
No, that was not one I was going to know.
Who is Bobby Pickett?
I've never
sounds like a made up
person. Shirley Pickett. Yeah.
Like if you're creating a fake Twitter.
Guys, come on. Here we go. Five questions down, non correct.
Okay.
All right.
I feel good about this one, man.
Got a good feeling.
In Scotland, what vegetable was traditionally carved into jack-o'-lanterns before pumpkins?
Alex? Butternut squash?
No.
Why are you... Go on, you guess better than...
Marrow.
Not a marrow, sorry.
Can I have a guess?
Yeah.
Melon.
No.
You can do that because you can draw a face on a melon and call it Melanie. I always love that.
Yeah. And they might have done that, for all I know, but it wasn't traditionally...
Half a point?
No.
Do you know what I kind of feel like now? This is no longer a competition between us. We're just sort of trying to beat the quiz.
It really
and
is. Actually,
Alex's difficult questions.
Can anybody get one right? That is the new quiz. No, it was turnip.
How do you even fucking do that? That's a tricky one to...
I know. How did they even do it? I know.
Pyro.
What kind of life are these people living?
Pumpkin-free lives, guys. Okay, next question. The tradition of Day of the Dead shares its roots with Halloween. But what date does it fall on?
Alex, 31st of October?
No.
That was a trick question.
Day of the Dead.
See where you went there.
I think it's very close, isn't it? Isn't it like 2nd of November?
Not 2nd of
November.
1st of November. I say we got our first half point of the
day.
Brilliant. I did nothing for this.
Yeah, it is 1st of November because it's actually pretty much the same as Halloween because Halloween, it's All Hallows Eve. The actual even in Christian tradition, the day is
All
actually
Hallows
on November
Eve.
The 1st.
So Hallows Eve. Yeah.
It is the same as Day of the Dead.
Well, who'd have thunk it?
I didn't know it was nearby. I didn't know.
In fact, what I've just done
like
for...
I
just gave away the answer to the next question, so let's just move on a little bit. No, I'm going to ask it anyway because I want someone to get some points here. But what in Christian tradition is the day after Halloween called?
Day of the Dead.
No.
Hallows Day.
Hallows Day. I'll give you a half point. It's All Hallows Day. That is...
Fuck
yeah. So the Jays are now up to 1 point. So our being split into two is working quite pertinently, really.
And there are 2 points still remaining, so Alex, you can still win.
Watch this, guys.
Looking forward to it.
Those half points really work as well, because neither of us actually answered the question.
You just said words near it.
Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
Okay, these last two questions... I'll admit, looking over them now...
Are the hardest ones.
Very tricky, yeah. All right. But, you know, this is good for the Joes because you've got every chance of winning now.
Well,
right?
Bobby Turpin or whatever his name was is not an easy
one. He's drawing.
Bobby Pickett.
The name we'll never forget.
Well, I forgot it in seconds. Bobby Turpin, I called him.
That was almost Bobby Turnip combining two answers.
Yeah.
Traditionally, what was the original trick... in a trick or treat?
Joe.
Razor blades.
That was a nice combination of one saying Joe and the other one giving
the answer. Salt.
It was neither of those things.
Egg-based.
Pepper.
Alex?
Was it pepper or not? Pepper spray. Mustard.
Pepper spray. Mustard. Mustard spray. None of these things.
Coal. Napalm.
It was as simple as singing a song.
That's not a trick.
I know. Wait, it could be an awful song.
Oh, yeah.
It wouldn't have been Monster Mash because that's the class.
Just standing in your own doorway for 10
years. We're talking proper early 20th century, late 19th century stuff here. They sang songs.
Oh.
And they could have been pretty bad.
Oh, that's a nice trick.
There you go. And final question. What is the purpose of the mask worn at Halloween?
To be scary. Alex.
I think I've got it. Is it to frighten away the ghosts?
It is to
stop
the dead recognizing the living. I'll give you that.
Yay!
Absolutely smashed it.
2-0 to the Joes.
Wow. To be fair, you deserved that, guys. Well done.
We sure did.
Which also means 2-0 to Joe overall.
Oh my God.
Oh, he's absolutely smashed it.
Real spanner in your works.
Nah, we didn't know he'd win.
Change your jingles.
Change the green room.
Change that green room. It's all change.
Brilliant. Oh, well, there we go. Joe and Joe win that. This month's Producer Al's Crap feature. Thank you very much.
Producer Al's Crap feature.
Cool.
You've got a book coming out, Joe.
Yes, I've literally today received my first copies. They're in this envelope here. Wow. And I'm really excited about it because one thing that I love, I used to be a graphic designer and I love I love designing things. And I love the always on books, loved the what's called the wibbling, which is the...
Is that the little kind of...
bit underneath the jacket. Yep. And I'm really proud, well, pleased with how the wibbling's come out. Because look at that bad boy.
Wow. That is...
The little gold finger with a parsnip on the front. So I'm really pleased with that. And also these are the what's known as the book plates, and I'm pleased with that as well.
Very nice.
It comes out on the 20th of October.
And what's the book called?
It's called Parsnips Buttered. And... it's about it's a self-help book that won't help you. Basically. That's it.
Did you put that people used to carve jack-o'-lanterns out of parsnips in the book?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a whole chapter dedicated to
definitely
it.
Definitely did that. Yeah, that's the jack-o'-lantern chapter.
Perfect.
Yeah, so that comes out 20th of October. It's so surreal seeing it like as a
thing
now. It's bonkers. Yeah. It's really... I made a thing.
It looks
and
great.
You never do that with stand-up. You never make things. You kind of... they got well, as in that you can hold, they're kind of always lost to the ether. So it's so nice to have a thing, to show off to my friends and family.
A gift for Christmas.
A gift for Christmas. Not for everyone. I've forgotten that this was in it. I was looking on the one of the pages in it. Here is... not this one. There's little silly drawings in there. We are. That you couldn't give to your friends, could you? Just a little drawing.
It is a little drawing of someone that just says, "You are a cunt."
It's that kind of level.
There you go, man.
Yeah. So it's not for everybody on that basis. But yes, it could be a nice gift for a loved one if you were thinking of leaving them. that kind of vibe. Yeah.
I like that page is near the end as well.
Yeah,
and then
just
get
it,
end,
like slip that in.
You are a cunt.
The rest of it's actually child friendly up until that point.
Up until that page.
Yeah.
Have you got anything else coming up that you'd like to plug?
Well, then also a DVD of the film, a filmed version of the tour that I've been doing. That comes out at the end of November.
Perfect.
And then I will die. That's my plan.
I'll go back to Mallorca.
Just go back to Mallorca. Die poolside there.
So everyone should buy the book and buy the DVD.
Yeah, if you want, like, it's up to you. Like, I've got too much to flog this year. It's a bit embarrassing, but buy them if you would like to buy them.
And that's the way a Joe Lycett is done now. You've
filmed. Yes, it's. And now I've got to write a new thing.
It's a very good show. I saw it in the Fringe, and we managed to make it to a couple of like an extra date. They put an extra date on, and me and my friend Mike were doing a show, and we always clashed with everyone. Our show was at sort of 7:15, and then that day, I'm sure people would have come. But we'd been building, it was the last week of the festival, and we were like, we want to go and see something. So at literally bang on showtime, we were like, fuck this! And we walked off and saw your show. It's very good.
Ah, thanks. Yeah. Thanks for coming along.
That's all right, no problem.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed performing it. It's sad to sort of lose it, but you've got to start again. Yeah. You've got to write some things, so yeah.
Nice. Joe, anything to plug coming up?
No.
Alex?
No?
No.
Producer Al?
Actually.
Producer Al? No, not really. Just this podcast.
If you really don't like me and want to watch me struggle, then come and see me do stand up in the next 6 months, because I'm trying to leave everything and do new things. And it's just going to be, if you fucking hate me, it's going to be great. But so
There we go. Come see Joe Foster dying on stage. Go see him live anytime.
Yeah, there you go. Right. There you go.
I'll be there, front row. Yeah. Every gig.
Hell. Bobby Pickett. Yeah.
Great.
Well, that's everything for this month then. I've been Alex Perchovich. Thank you, Joe Foster.
Cheers.
Thank you, producer Al.
Thank you.
And thank you to our amazing guest, Joe Lycett.
Thank you. I'm just going to say exclusively the word cunt.
Literally for the first 5 minutes. Yeah, yeah. All the swear words.
Hello, you cunts.
Hello, you cunts.
Oh, I just feel like a right cunt today.
Tell us more.
Well, cunt.
I like that. I can edit that in. Brilliant. Everywhere. Brilliant. Just loop it. Cool.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.